Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and renewed and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance, for all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, perhaps 80, if we're strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. So therefore, verse 12, teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Given all that, teach us to count our days, to number our days that we may gain a wise heart. And again, interspersed are these verses about God's the awe of life and awe of God. There were a couple I didn't read about God's wrath and anger, and that has to do with the ancient Hebrew mindset about living in this created universe that's a fallen place. And as we move through life, we encounter the consequences, the natural consequences of our actions. And that is sort of this corporate suffering that we undergo as a human race. But clearly in this psalm is this theme, this overriding theme of awe and a respect for life because it's ephemeral. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. Therefore, we should count our days. We should number them to gain a wise heart. This is a lovely and poetic way of saying each day matters, and it matters a lot. And when we start with what matters versus what is urgent or what just occupies us and keeps us busy, then we will prioritize what is valuable. What is valuable? How oftentimes do we move through life, through our routines, our days? One speaker I heard years ago characterized this American lifestyle sometimes as a speed coma, that we're busy, depending on what phase of life we're in, that we're in the speed coma, and we don't drop out of it to see what is valuable. Well, this next clip is a little corporate. It's a seminar. The point is really good. It's about 4 minutes long, and I'm going to show about the 4 minutes of it, because I think it's a very valuable teaching parable about prioritizing what matters. This is from consultant and business coach Stephen Covey, who wrote the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I think it was. And this is a famous illustration. It supposedly came from a university professor. He does a great job of walking an attendant to a seminar through this idea of really prioritizing what matters. Let's watch.
Your name is?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you have a work life?
I do.
Family life as well?
Mm-hmm.
Children?
Not yet.
Not yet. What's the nature of your work assignment?
I direct an international firm.
An international firm?
Mm-hmm.
So you really are interfacing with all kinds of people in the firm and outside the firm.
That's right.
You want a rich personal life and a rich family life. Do you ever feel like you get bogged down in the thick of thin things?
Yes.
Well, that might be analogous to all these little, small things that tend to fill our life. And that just little by little, they just accumulate. Now, your job, you can't go above this. Is to get all those large rocks in the jar. Good luck. What's that one called?
Q2, planning, preparation.
Right. Planning, preparation, prevention, and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next rock she's putting in there is called relationships and family. We didn't look at that third rock you put in there. That's employment, some key employment issue, and then you put major projects here. I can't get it above there.
I haven't worked it yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's fair. That's called service community church. Do you ever feel like this?
Yes.
How many feel like this? By moving the little things around, you might squeeze in one more of those big major things. It's almost. Wow, that is good. You know, if it doesn't fit, force it. Here's something that's called urgent and important. It's a quadrant one thing that is blindsiding you, that it's your biggest client, that if you don't get back to that client now, you've given up your vacation. And you have no special block of time just for yourself. I'll tell you what you can do if you want to. You can take a whole different approach. You have a totally fresh bowl. You can work out of a different paradigm altogether.
Well, then I'd rather put these in the bottom and then pour the little pebbles on top.
Employment.
Big opportunity.
Big opportunity.
Important and urgent. Block of time. Those young children keep looking at me. Glad my husband's not here. No, I dump these in there.
Okay.
Okay, now notice, when she took what was important in life, represented by the rocks, and put it in the bucket first, most of the pebbles, not all of them, but most of the pebbles fit in the space it needed to. But of course, the opposite was true. If she put the pebbles representing errands and busyness and things that were doable, but maybe not necessarily important, when she put those in the bucket first, it was really hard to fit all the important things in. And I noticed, because I think this clip is from 1993, I was particularly keen to notice that the church and community service was one of the things that she found it hard to fit in the bucket. And I think that has only gotten harder as time has gone along. Because life is full of errand after errand, busyness for the sake of busyness. And I want to add another layer of insight here as well. I suspect that many of us, as we're going about the busy activity of our days, that we are putting our bodies into what some health practitioners might generally call sympathetic mode. Now, don't be fooled by the name, because there's nothing sympathetic about it, that we have a sympathetic nervous system. And there have been some books written about this. Sapolsky, I think at Stanford, Robert Sapolsky wrote a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, but he talked about what happens when the sympathetic nervous system is sort of on all the time. And the sympathetic nervous gear is called, nicknamed, fight or flight. Get it done or else. Fight or flight is the deadline is approaching. Do something about it right now. Your child forgot to hand in that paper. Your customer is angry. If you want that juicy bonus, you better get out there and sell, and so on and so on. And all these are triggers that will motivate us to immediate action. It will turn on the sympathetic nervous system, because our belief is that some measure, some part of our life depends on it. And so we walk around in fight or flight mode. And Sapolsky's book would, if you read it, says it's not really great for our health long term. It really wears down the body. It's certainly not good for our mental health. It's certainly not good for our spiritual health. Now, there is another gear that counters the sympathetic nervous gear, and it is the parasympathetic mode. This is nicknamed rest and digest. This is the mode we're in, hopefully, when we're sleeping, hopefully, when we're digesting, when we are resting, when we are being renewed. Now, our culture is all about the sympathetic, not so much the parasympathetic. I've never seen a fast food chain called Rest and Digest. But that's actually what we need to digest our food. We need to be in parasympathetic mode. Have you ever heard the corporate mantra, I'll sleep when I'm dead? We literally make heroes of people who are in fight or flight all the time. It sounds brave and heroic and strong, but that never leads to better health, never leads to more happiness, never leads to well-being. So we have to ask, is that posture which has been so glorified in our culture, is it wise? I'm going to suggest today that it bumps up against what Scripture is teaching us. Because whether we're talking about rocks and pebbles or sympathetic versus parasympathetic, what the psalmist is encouraging us to do is take a look at our lives and discern what matters, number our days, and put that first. And that is how we cultivate the wisdom of our hearts. By looking, by numbering our days, counting our days, prioritizing what matters, that cultivates the wisdom of our hearts. Now, when I'm in a sympathetic gear, in the busyness that activates fight or flight, the problem with that is there's not just one switch that I can flip to switch immediately into rest and digest. Maybe if I'm not too far into it, but if that's turned on for hours and days and even weeks, it's very difficult to just flip that off. It's also difficult to do perspective taking because the dynamic of that mode is I'm running away from the bear or the lion. We're not thinking about other things when we're running away from a bear or a lion. We're not slowing down to do perspective taking, to go, is this the best way to do this? Or, I just noticed that haven't talked to my spouse today or called my mom or whatever it might be, because it's a get it done now mode. Have you ever been up at night because you're still processing the events of the day and had a hard time going to sleep? You ever wake up and can't go back to sleep? That is exactly the dynamic I'm talking about here. We can't just go from one mode and flip a switch and immediately go down into rest and digest. What we need to do that are transitions in life, time to move from one gear to another, from fight or flight to rest and digest gradually. It's not just a switch we can sort of flip on and off. So it takes conscious discipline to manage these two modes. To moderate our schedules, to moderate priorities, to moderate activities, to number our days. And this is where spiritual disciplines come in. Practicing the way, if you take advantage of that opportunity, it will probably change your life. I've heard that it's already changed lives in our midst. It's about spiritual, in part, about spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines in general are about things like creating time for prayer, time for rest, and time for recreation. If you look at the word recreation, you can separate it into re-creation, to be created again, to be put back together again. And that's what we need. We need time to laugh and to tell stories, time to make or write or draw things or play music that restore the soul. This is holy work. It's not hard. Kids do it naturally before the world teaches them to stop it. But we adults have a hard time recovering that. Author Mark Iaconelli tells the story of how his son taught him to slow down, pay attention to what's going on around him, and notice where God is present. And in his book, Contemplative Youth Ministry, he writes, "My son Joseph is a natural contemplative. When he was 4 years old, he was no longer willing to be hustled to preschool and hurried along on errands. One morning, Joseph announced he was starting a new organization called Slow Club, in which he would serve as president. The rules of the club were simple: no running, no hurrying, and unfortunately, nobody else in the household could commit to this." Mark writes, "If I tried to pull him along or anxiously urge him to hurry up because we had to go somewhere, he'd respond calmly, 'I'm president of Slow Club, Dad. I don't hurry.'" So Joseph would talk at night about being in Slow Club, a one-member club so far, about the things that nobody else saw during the day that he noticed. And it might be simple things like a piece of wire, a bottle cap, an especially smooth rock, a line of ants. And from time to time, he'd invite others to join his organization, but nobody could commit to the charter. Mark says, "One summer when I was teaching at a youth camp, Joseph granted me a one-day membership, honorary membership to his club, and after playing ultimate frisbee with a group of teenagers, the bell rang for lunch. The kids bolted towards the dining hall, and Joseph had been watching the game, so I ran over to him, pulled on my sweatshirt, grabbed his hand, and began pulling him hastily behind the group because I was hungry and I wanted to get a place in line to eat. Joseph reminded me, however, that I had accepted his one-day club membership, and I would need to reduce my speed drastically. So patiently, I took a deep breath and slowed to my son's pace. Joseph looked at me satisfied and said, "You see, Dad, when you slow down, you're going to notice things. Just look around as we walk. You'll see things everyone else has missed." So quietly, we strolled through the campground, looking carefully at our surroundings. Suddenly, I saw something move off to the side of the path. "Joseph," I whispered, "look over there." He turned, and we both saw two jackrabbits standing on their hind legs, watching us. Joseph gave a knowing smile and said, "I bet we're the only ones that noticed those rabbits." We walked on, stopping to look at butterflies, strange purple wildflowers, enormous beetles, and a lizard with half a tail. When we joined the rest of the family, we both talked excitedly about all the treasures we'd seen. He said, "Like Joseph, those who of us who minister among people, we should seek to be members of Slow Club, to invite people to attend to their lives, not to overlook the signs of God's presence. We can learn to look and listen with slow eyes and ears. We can learn to listen for the deep sounds of God, to look patiently for the little signs of grace. We can cultivate wonder. Like Joseph, we can say, what do we notice? What do we see? How is God present in this moment?" Well, Joseph and his dad created meaningful memories together that they won't forget. And those moments, those meaningful moments, open the door for more moments and for the realization and the reminder that God is present. And we can learn to welcome and receive that presence. That can create meaning. It's very simple. It's not hard. How are you numbering your days? What rocks need to go in the bucket first? What pebbles need to come out? What are your transitions in life, or what will they be this week from fight or flight into rest and digest? Would you accept a one-day membership, an honorary membership to Slow Club? If we did, I wonder what wisdom might be cultivated in our hearts. Let's pray. Almighty God, in modern life, the days are long and the years are short. We blink, and it seems impossible that our kids and grandkids have grown up. We can be so occupied and preoccupied that we miss the fact that time and life are happening around us all the time. Because life is finite, help us to number our days in wise ways that honor you and bring wisdom into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.